You're listening to the Enclave Community Church podcast. For more information about Enclave, follow the links in the description. Enjoy this week's sermon from Adam Parker.
All right, so this morning's reading is going to be from 1 Peter. There's so many commas in this, so I feel like I'm going to run out of breath when reading it. So thank you, Peter, for that. Okay, greeting. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are elect exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in the sanctification of the Spirit for obedience to Jesus Christ and for sprinkling with his blood, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. Born again to a living hope. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice. For now, for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves but you in the things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. Okay, let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for our family here, for our congregation. We praise you for the things that you're doing in our lives. Thank you for never leaving us. Thank you for being here with us. Lord, please let the message today reach our hearts. Help us to glorify you in all that we do, Lord. Help us to love others well. Please be with us as we go into this week, and please be with Adam as he speaks. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Tim, for leading this morning and for faithfully leading worship so many weeks. And for Brandon for doing the announcements, as short as they may be. You're always awesome at that. And Darcy for reading scripture. Did it perfectly. You're going to pronounce those cities much better than I do. And like Brandon was saying, like, it's great to see so many faces here for a second time. And yesterday was, I don't know about you guys, I'm already emotionally drained and I'm about to start preaching. So that's a nice recipe there. But I mean, it was so amazing of a morning yesterday, right? We got to celebrate Moses' life. We got to come alongside brothers and sisters and just glorify God. And you know, the joy was inexpressible, but the grief was heavy, right? There were so many moments there that I just really appreciated. You know, first and foremost, I really appreciated when Andrew spoke. Honestly, when he sent me the outline of the service and he's like, yeah, I'm gonna be talking and during this portion, I'm like, oh my gosh, I could not even imagine doing that myself. And just the honesty he brought out was amazing. You know, he talked about just being in so much pain right now. And guys, that's just so heartfelt. And I can tell you, when news of Moses' passing away came about, for myself and many others, it was triggering, right? Not only did we feel the pain, the loss, but for many of us, it was triggering of our own losses in the past. It brought up old feelings. And I can tell you, like, I have been through those times where, as Andrew mentioned, you could see the rocks of utter despair. And you just don't know. You don't know how you're going to get through it. And it was in these times that I was kind of drawn to 1 Peter. In fact, when I was volunteering to preach, I didn't know it was going to be the day after the service. So once I found that out, oh my gosh, I've been so nervous. But at the same time, like, the message that the Lord gave me was perfect. Now, the Apostle Peter wrote this letter. He was once a fisherman, and now he was a disciple of Christ. He was there for the sufferings of Christ. He probably wrote this letter from Rome. I was in the early 60s of AD during Nero's reign. And this letter is addressed to Christians scattered in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. This is an area north of the Taurus Mountains in Asia Minor, basically modern-day Turkey. Now, these territories have been impacted by Greco-Roman culture and had been under Roman control from the mid-first century. Christians in that area were being severely persecuted. You know, during the life of Christ, the Roman Empire kind of didn't pay much mind to Jesus because they just felt it was just some internal thing with the Jewish culture. It's like, all right, you know, the leaders of the Jewish culture just handle it. But as after Jesus died and rose again, and Christianity began to spread, the Roman culture knew they had a threat. And so they began persecuting Christians. They began feeding them to lions, beheading Christians. They were being crucified, burned, and so on. And so Peter was writing to these elect exiles in Asia Minor in this book. But honestly, guys, he was also writing to the elect exiles here in Turlock, California. Peter reminds us that we are chosen, elected by God, and precious to him. And yet, there's times we feel alone and displaced, disorientated, sad. We join the suffering, but we live in both realities. We are stuck in this broken earth in our sadness, while our ultimate citizenship is in heaven. Peter wants to comfort those saints in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, just like he wants to comfort us. He wants the reality of our election to overcome what we may feel in our exile. When we are feeling like we are in the midst of that storm, right? We need those anchors. When we see utter despair, Peter wants us to see the life preserver that's right next to us. He wants to see the living hope that is with us. Peter offers us hope. And so that's why this morning I want to talk about hope. And my 3 points this morning is hope of salvation, the second being hope through faith, and the third being hope because of grace. So picking up in verse 2 here in 1 Peter, I want to talk about the hope of salvation. According to the foreknowledge of God the Father and the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and for the sprinkling with his blood, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. First of all, in verse 2, it's great seeing how each member of the Trinity of God made our salvation possible, right? The Father chose us, right? The Holy Spirit sanctifies us. The Son washes us clean with his blood. Now, guys, when a person is saved, the Holy Spirit takes residence in them. That means the person is a new creation, born again and sanctified. And when we say sanctified, it's the act of being set apart. And the Holy Spirit sets us apart from the world and makes us new. But in order to be set apart, we must surrender our lives to Jesus. We must recognize that he alone is the Savior, and he will be faithful to wash us clean with his blood. Guys, in a time when it was suicidal to be a Christian, Peter was telling them that through Christ, there was hope in spite of the atmosphere in which they lived in. Now, did Peter tell those Christians that life would get easier? No. Did he tell them that the persecution would stop? No. With their family, their friends dying, not knowing if they were the next to be brutally killed, what hope was there? But Peter shares with these believers and believers today why we have hope. It's the living hope mentioned in verse 3. The living hope. We believe we have hope in Jesus who rose from the grave. He is no longer dead. He is alive. This is the center of our belief, guys. If we don't believe this, then our whole faith breaks down. As it mentions in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 14 through 18, and if Christ had not been raised, our preaching is useless and so is your faith. More than that, then we are found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him if in fact the dead are not raised. For the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. Guys, the center of our belief is that Jesus rose from the grave. And if we truly believe this, if we truly believe in a living hope, if we truly believe that Jesus is who he says he is, then we are truly saved. We not only get to be in union with God, with the Holy Spirit taking residence within us. And guys, that in and of itself is amazing, right? Those of us who are saved, we know the power and the glory, the peace that comes having the Holy Spirit within us. But one day, God will remake this world and give us new bodies, bodies free from sin. And we can then live out this union perfectly. Guys, as much as we love God, we're gonna love him infinitely more. As much as we love each other, it will be infinitely more. God frees us from the bondage of sin, but our bodies are still stained with sin, right? We still stumble. But one day we're gonna be given new bodies and we can live out this glorious life perfectly. We can worship God perfectly. And that inheritance we received when we were saved, guys, it is imperishable, it's undefiled, it's unfading, it's kept in heaven for you. How much joy is that? Right? When we are saved, it is done. We may stumble in our sins, but guys, we are kept in heaven. That is so amazing. And it is in this living hope of Jesus that we rejoice. Our salvation is secure. And whatever various trials that we are going through, even when they feel never ending, they are only for a little while. Right, it mentions in verse 6, in this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. Now Peter says, we are grieved by for a little while, but we rejoice in our grief. That may seem contradictory, right? But here the apostle contrasts what is true versus what is felt. The Son is ours. Salvation is ours. Today, however, it could feel untrue. Nevertheless, we struggle forward towards the dawn of a new day, and genuine faith keeps us clinging to our Savior. Guys, we don't need to try and hold it together and try to be more joyful. We can keep just coming back to Jesus. We can crawl and we can cling to him covered in tears, and he will always be there for us. He is there for us. And so we have hope because of our salvation, a hope, a living hope, guys. But we also have hope through faith. Picking back up in verse 6 and going through verse 9. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though now you do not see him, you believe in him and rejoice with a joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Now, Peter here is playing upon a great image, right? The goldsmith. And now a goldsmith would take gold and melt it down. Gold tended to be heavier than its impurities, and so the impurities would begin to rise to the surface, and the goldsmith would scrape out these impurities, let the gold cool, and then repeat the process, and then repeat, and then repeat. And the goldsmith would keep doing this and would know he would have pure gold when he found no impurities, and he could actually see his reflection within the gold. Peter says our faith is like gold. As it is tested, it will begin to bring impurities to the surface. And when the impurities are removed, our faith becomes more valuable. Guys, gold is the standard by which we define value, even this day, right? We still say things like, it's worth its weight in gold, or man, that person, he's the golden boy, right? Like my brother, he was the golden child. Or man, that was the golden age of TV. You know, it's like you've defined value to this, right? We still have our jewelry made in gold. We still trade in gold. In Peter's world and in ours, gold is considered one of the most valuable things a person could have. But while gold is valuable, it is nothing compared to our faith. Gold can perish, but our faith will endure. A faith in Jesus Christ will carry us through this life and even into the world to come. A faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of God's only Son is far more valuable than gold. Our faith is something eternal, not something that could be destroyed. Now, the goldsmith knew that he had pure gold when he could see his reflection in the metal. Guys, Jesus is the goldsmith, and he desires to see his reflection in our life. As we grow in Christ, as we learn more about him and his love, it is only through a life given to Christ we begin to see him as he really is. And as our faith grows, the deeper nature of Christ is revealed to us. The end result of a Christ-centered faith is that our lives are shaped and molded by him. Guys, when our faith begins to reflect a deeper knowledge of Jesus, our lives will begin to change. When you and I live differently, because our faith is growing, those around us will see a difference. They will begin to see Jesus more and more, and us less and less. Guys, this can only happen in a refined faith that has been tested. Now, Peter talks about the love of Christ, even though we have not seen him. In Hebrews, we actually have the definition of faith. In Hebrews 11:1, it says, Now, faith is the reality of what is hoped for, the proof of what is not seen. The essence of faith is that it does not require our sight, but we know it's true. Faith is not something like, well, maybe it is, maybe it's not. Guys, we know it's true. Let me give you a for example. We all have faith that we have a brain. I know some of you are thinking of someone that maybe, okay. But guess what? We have not seen our own brain. Hopefully not. But we have faith that we have a brain, though we have not seen it. We have the proof, right? We have thoughts. And just in the same way, guys, I know for a fact that Jesus is Lord. I have seen the proof. Though I have not seen Jesus with my own eyes, I have seen his work. Right? For those of us who are saved, it is not an if statement. We know it. This is faith. Now, when we go through these trials, though, guys, those trials, they are horrible to go through. Our faith does increase, but no one wishes those events to happen. Right. I can tell you through the trials in my life, I can always say I love God. I can always say I love Christ, but those trials tell me how much I need Christ. Like moment by moment, when you're in those times and you just don't even know how you can get through the hour, let alone the day, you realize how much everything else is secondary to Christ and how much you need him. Now, don't get me wrong, guys. I know sometimes we get this false impression of God that bad things happen because we're not living close enough to God. Our faith is not good enough, right? That's the prosperity gospel. That's not true. But guys, for every single one of us, I hate to break it, we're going to have bad times. But during those bad times, what we put our faith in is revealed. And when we go through those tough times, if our faith is in our Lord and Savior, we will cling closer and closer to him. Those impurities will be put out, and our faith will become more and more valuable. Bless you. Guys, as we cling to Christ, our faith is fired and refined. Pain purifies, and the God who gives, guards, and guarantees faith strengthens us as we come back to Jesus again and again and again, even when we may not feel like we have the strength. When our season of suffering ends in eternity, we will look back with our Savior, and we will thank him. We will give glory and honor to Jesus for holding us through those times that felt like forever, but thankfully we're not. While in this season, when we do not see him, we can love and rejoice in him preemptively, remembering that Peter saw him and one day we will too. Christ's presence will prove more permanent than our grief. Let me say that again. Christ's presence will prove more permanent than our grief. Your winter will end when he is revealed and all things are made new. And then God's mercy will mend our broken souls as he mends our broken world. Final salvation will come. Guys, we live in hope because of our salvation. We live in hope through our faith. And lastly, guys, we have hope because of grace. Picking it up in verse 10 in 1 Peter. Concerning the salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves but you, in the things that have now been announced to you, though these things who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. Now, Peter wanted to lift us up in knowing that our path to salvation was predicted in the Old Testament, right? The prophets continually looked forward to the Messiah who would save us. And I was going to like, hey, let me just look up a few verses about the Messiah in the Old Testament. And then, oh, geez, there were so many. I got a little overwhelmed. And my first draft, it was like 10 pages just on verses. So I slimmed it down a little, yeah. But here's just a couple of verses from the Old Testament. Genesis 3:15, and I will put an enemy between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. 2 Samuel 7:12-13. When your days are fulfilled and you rest with your fathers, I will set up your seed after you, who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Micah 5:2. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth are from old, from everlasting. Isaiah 11:10. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, who shall stand as a banner to the people, for the Gentiles who shall seek him, and his resting place shall be glorious. Jeremiah 23:5. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. The message of the prophets could be summarized as the following. Hang on. God is working and the Messiah is coming. Right, guys, Israel, hang on. The deliverer is coming. Does that sound like a message to people who are at the end of their rope? Hang on. He is coming. How many people here today need that message? Guys, hang on. Jesus is coming. It is a promise. Right? Maybe you need to hear that God's promises are for you. That is the message of the Old Testament prophets. Hang on, guys. The deliverer is coming. Now, Peter points out that true faith is not only tied to the prophets, but also the fulfillment of those prophecies. There is a faith in the suffering and crucifixion of Jesus. It's mentioned in verse 11. Peter then talks about how the faith of the Old Testament and the Gospels is for these present days in verse 12. Peter literally says angels desire to look into these things. I'm like, guys, can you even imagine the angels leaning over the rim of heaven, looking down, right? They have witnessed all the prophets. They have witnessed everything in the Old Testament. They've witnessed the life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus. What do they desire to see? What's happening right now? What is God going to do in us? Guys, we are so blessed to live here in this current age. I'm starting to get to the age, I'm getting old enough to start talking about the golden age, right? All these kids these days, and you know. But, oh my gosh, when I was thinking about it, we are so blessed to live in this age. Not only can we read about the prophets telling Israel, telling us all to hold on, the Messiah's coming, but we also get to read about Jesus coming and fulfilling those prophecies. But what is even greater yet is when Jesus rose, became the living hope, ascended back to heaven, the Holy Spirit came down. Guys, we live in a time when we are saved. We have God in us. Think about that. I don't want to live in the Old Testament times. I want to live now because I have God in me. And I get to experience, not perfectly yet, but I get to experience that union with God the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. You know, Jesus said in Matthew 13, verses 16 and 17, "But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it." Guys, we don't deserve it, but by the grace of God, we can not only know about the Christ Jesus, but we live in a time where we can have God in us. Now, when I think about how Peter was writing to these churches who were going through these hard times, I can't help about thinking about Romans 12:12. Now, before I mention Romans 12:12, let me say to you, this is my life verse. I grew up in church that the pastor and I would hear it over and over again from different people about the importance of sometimes having a life verse. And if you don't have a life verse, that's fine. Right? But just like a verse you're drawn to. And when I was younger, I always looked to verses that really, like, it was one of two things. Maybe it was something that just sounded really cool, right? When you're growing up, it's like, man, I just want a verse that just, oh man, it sounds awesome. And this verse was mentioned a couple times yesterday. Psalm 23:4. "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for you are with me. Thy rod and staff, they comfort me." Like, oh man, it sounds amazing, right? Or I would maybe think about a verse that just really succinctly summarized the gospel, right? This is like the verse I want to share with people. How can I summarize the gospel as clearly as possible? And obviously, guys, what's the one verse that does that? John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Don't get me wrong, those verses are amazing. They are awesome. However, my life verse came in the wake of my own son passing away. Unfortunately, Andrew, we're in that same club you mentioned yesterday. Romans 12:12 reads, "Rejoice in hope, patient in tribulation, constant in prayer." This is a verse that that found me when we were in the midst of that pain. We're always in that pain, but we're in the midst of that unending despair. Anxiety gripped my life daily. Depression was crippling Danae's life. But it was a verse that I just personally prayed over and over and over again. We are grieved by various trials. We need to rejoice in hope. We have the living hope of Jesus Christ, who rose again to conquer sin and death. This living hope, who freely gives us the salvation so that we might be in union with God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And during these times of trials, we must be patient in tribulation. I love that. God didn't say like that tribulation was going to stop, but just be patient. "For they will last only a little while in the grand scheme of eternity." And we need to have faith in the hope that God is refining us like a goldsmith to cast out impurities, to draw us near to him. This is the act of sanctification, guys. And lastly, we need to be constant in prayer, always being near to God, wanting to know him more because of the grace that he has shown us. We have a living hope because of the salvation through faith and because of God's love, grace, and mercy. No matter how bad life is for you right now, whatever trials you are going through, you have a living hope. Not a hope that is wishful, but a hope that will happen. We have a hope of salvation through faith because of grace. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we are just so thankful for you. You are our cornerstone. You are the rock. And Lord, I just pray for all of us. I pray for all of us who are hurting. Lord, we love you so much. And God, I know we want hurting to stop. But Lord, I just pray that during these times, Lord, that we just cling to you. That we know that you are the God of love. You are the God of mercy, the God of peace. And Lord, when we are living as these elect exiles here, Lord, just pray we long to know you more, long to be with you more, long to be in that time, Lord, when we can live out that union perfectly with you. God, you are the great sustainer. Just continually sustain us, God, and give us hope, Lord. Jesus, you are the living hope. In your name we pray. Amen.
We hope you have enjoyed this week's sermon from Adam Parker. At Enclave, our mission is to cultivate and empower disciples, fostering a deepening connection with God and with one another. Together, we joyfully encounter, embrace, and embody the transformative love of Jesus wherever his calling leads us. For more information about us, please follow the links in the description.